Amen. We're going to start in Colossians chapter 3 today. We're going to continue to try to understand who we are and who we're not. And you understand that every baby born is born in the house of Adam. Every little creature that's born is born with a little nature of sin that pushes darkness. It's not dead, it's death. It speaks death, it pushes death. And they have a spiritual inner body and they have a natural outer body. The natural outer body is made of this earth. You eat the food that this earth produces and you eat it in your mouth. And takes in nutrients and builds skin and bones and everything else that you have. If you eat too much, it builds too much skin and bones. And your spiritual man is, your spiritual body is connected to your natural body. Then you, yourself, you came to existence the moment that you were conceived in your mother's womb. That's when you came to life. God did not breathe life into you. And this is where we get in trouble with some people, but really the revelation, the understanding that God didn't breathe life into you that moment in your mother's womb. That came from your parents. That is the seed. That's the law of Genesis. You recreate, repopulate. So where did you come from? Where did your life, you, your life source, your consciousness, you, where did you come from? Well, we read in Genesis, and I'm not going to go there today, but we read in Genesis where God breathed life into Adam. There on the ground was a body that was formed, and God breathed life into him. Do you know that every human being can trace their life, this life that lives forever? See, me and my wife, we created two creatures that never existed before. We created them. We named them Harrison and Ava. But God, since they're born again, will give them a new name. And these two creatures that we created are going to live forever. Every human born lives forever. Every human conceived lives forever. Say amen if you're still with me. For some of you, you know what I'm saying, you understand from the born again trail. You're like, yeah. Can't you preach something a little more deeper? I'm determined to preach this out, this image out, because there's many people who don't understand it. They, you know, just like when you first got saved, all you knew was, I'm going to heaven, hallelujah. And you thought, like Gary preached a sermon, we're not a sinner saved by grace anymore. Well, that's what we all thought. The Roman road, we go out, well, we're all sinners, but I'm just saved by grace, you know. And at some level or another, that's what most of the church believes or lives. And then the new understanding or the deeper understanding that people get is, who am I? I'm recreated. I'm born again. And they start dancing and singing, I'm free. You know, and they run off, I'm free to dance, I'm free to worship. And they don't realize that even though they're born again and that new nature brought to life, their inner body, righteousness brought to life your spirit and brought them to life, born in the family of God, heir to the kingdom of God. So like everyone who got born again, whew, I'm free, hallelujah. And then they ran into something. They ran into their body, their mortal flesh. And it began to argue with him. Well, God, can't you? It's like the people come to me and say, I need you to cast the devil out of me. My favorite is when they ask you to cast the devil out of their wife. Hey, can you cast the devil out of my wife? I'm like, man, you married her. That's you. Can you cast the devil out of me, please? I need you to cast the devil out of me. I'm tired of dealing with this. I've asked God, please take this away from me. And he won't. And I have to say, look, I've cast out many devils. I was trained, you grab them by the hair, you grab them by the throat, and you throw them to the ground, and you tell that devil under authority, come out in Jesus' name. And I've wrestled and sweated and cast out devils and of all shapes and sizes. I can cast out the devils with the best of them, but I can't cast out flesh. Flesh is something you're stuck with. And that seems unfair for some people, because you can look at your body, your natural. See, when we realize the natural man isn't just my hands, but what is telling it my hands to do something it's not supposed to do. See, when we realize our flesh is also your mind, your will, and emotions that's in your body, you realize, like, that's unfair. I was raised in a unhealthy home. I was taught by a unhealthy father. I'm not talking about myself so much, but people have. I was abused as a kid. Some might say I was an orphan. I had horrible experiences. In fact, they say in the world at the age of 7, whatever you have in your personality, you're set. It won't change. They did a study where they grabbed some 7-year-old kids and they videotaped them. And they said, now 7 years old, tell me. What's your dreams? What's your fears? What's your likes and dislikes? Your favorite ice cream? All those questions. Then, 7 years later, they grabbed the same group, asked them the same questions. And they did that every 7 years. The kids, I think, were 35 when they finished. And you know that 35 years later, they had the same answers, majority of them, as they did at 7. So in the world, once you're 7, if you go talk to a police officer about a drug addict, like a real drug addict, they'll say, there's no change in drug addicts. Once you're there, you're never getting out. And that's the mindset of the world. So, you know, once you cross the line, we just put you in your own category and we leave you there. But we're not in the world, amen? So no matter how dysfunctional your body may be, your history may be, you may come from some place where they don't educate you, where you're not educated, you're unskilled, you have no manners, you go to eat and you make the noise that drives everyone crazy. You may come from all kinds of dysfunction in your upbringing, but the beauty of the gospel, the hope of the message of the gospel is it doesn't matter how bad it is, you're not stuck there. Amen. Amen. Now, you may think, because of your dysfunction, that you have a raw deal. You got the raw end of the deal. I am trained to live in poverty. I was trained to live in abuse. I was trained to accept the little part of life. And that guy over there had beautiful parents. I mean, the parents are smart. They're nice. You know, my mom's running around with a stick, beating me over the head, and their mama's giving them hugs, you know, and you may try to compare, but the difference is what I want you to understand. Please understand this. Flesh, body, natural, mortal body, the good or bad is still flesh. The good thing about dysfunction is you realize it's dysfunction. Dysfunction causes you trouble in life. I can't get along with people. I can't get along. I can't have a good marriage. In Romans 8, it calls it infirmity. So just like my natural infirmity that I'm walking through, I'm slower. For me to get dressed takes 5 times as long as it does you. I need assistance to tie my shoes. I need help in lots of areas. I have an infirmity that I drag around while I'm receiving my healing in complete form. It's an infirmity. And you can see mine, so I get lots of hugs and, you know, but people can't see some of yours. And your infirmity has caused you trouble in your marriage. It's caused you trouble in your finances. It's caused you trouble in your self-worth. You feel depressed every day, or you feel worthless every day. You go to God and you can't worship because you feel like you failed Him. These are all infirmities. These are all things, weaknesses in our life that are just as damaging as the next. You're not worse off or better off, amen? Don't think I'm worse off or better off than you. We're all walking through our own infirmities and struggles from our body. Well, I want to just cut it off. Can't God just cut off that sucker? Well, technically, you know, I guess he could, but then you'd be in heaven. And, you know, then you're no good here on this earth. There's only one reason God technically designed born-again pathway the way he did, and that's so you can get more people to go to heaven with you. Not so you can live fat on this earth. We're going to live fat for eternity. I mean, we're going to not have to worry about our money. You won't have to go down to the store and say, I want to buy, you're on the new earth and living life in eternity. I would like to have the fruit of life, please. Okay, that's going to cost you $19.99. Well, all I have is $19.98. Sorry, go out and find the other penny somewhere. No, that's not eternity. You don't have to worry about all the cares of life because you'll be like it's supposed to be. It's free. But until then, people are trying to live this life with that same freedom in the flesh. But God's job for us isn't to live fat on this earth. It is to harvest as many people as possible. So I'm going to read here. I want to show us. Let me see. Who do I have for my characters today? Sean, you got to come up here for sure. Sean is the inner man. Let's see. Joe's here. Good. Joe, come on up. This is you. So, yeah, come sit right here, guys, for a second. My outward man. Let me bring JP, Pastor JP. Why don't you come up and be my model today? Bring your jacket, but don't put it on. Just come on up here. Sorry, Sean. This is your outward body here. Okay, here's what I want us to see. Let me bring Joe up. Joe, come on up, stand on stage, over to my right, please. Now, God breathed life into Adam. He's on the ground. His body, he's completely on the body. He's got a brain, a spiritual brain, and a natural brain. His carcass is on the ground, and it's laying there lifeless. It's got a brain, a natural brain, and a spiritual brain, because man was designed from the beginning to live in both worlds at the same time. We're designed to see God, talk to God, fellowship with God, and hug God, all the things in the spiritual world. Because how many know the spiritual world is as real as the natural world? And so man was designed to live inside their spiritual body and have the outward body be just the vessel that allowed you to operate in the natural world, not the other way around. So we were to live in the spiritual world and operate also in the natural world. But the moment Adam sinned, his view went from seeing out of his spiritual eyes to seeing out of his natural eyes. Every creature that came from Adam, everyone put your hand up. You all and myself, every human being came from Adam. Now, your inward man and your outward man, but you have a body. Amen? How many know you have a body? But you're not your body. Because your natural body will fall off of you. How many know you have a spirit, but you're not your spirit? You have a spirit. See? So you're still there, but where are you? This is the question I've been getting. So I've had a few people ask me this question, and it tells me that I'm on the right path of describing this. Well, where am I in this picture? Well, you're Joe. Joe represents the life force, the life that God breathed in Adam that passed down to you. And amazingly, God was able to get you out of one creature into another. You went from being in one creature to being in another creature without disappearing. Otherwise, when you were born again and became a new creature, let me say the words. You died. Say amen if that makes sense to you. You died. You were resurrected. So you died. Now, when somebody dies, they're dead. So you came up to the altar, asked Jesus into your heart, and the process was you died, right? And were resurrected. So when you died and were resurrected, you became a new creation. Right. Amen?
Amen?
Shouldn't you have died and disappeared? And then wake up at the altar and go look at your wife and go, who are you? I don't recognize you. Where am I? Who am I? See, but God made it possible for you in the transition of dying and being resurrected to exist the whole time. The same way Adam blinked when he sinned and became a new creature of darkness. Satan became his father, but he remembered everything from the beginning. The same way when you knelt down, was born again, you blinked, and now you're a new creature standing there. So you ran off as a new creature going, hallelujah, I'm born again. I'm free. And you start to run. I'm free to run. I'm free to worship. I'm free to dance. Dance, 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 dance all night. Now some churches, I love the when the white churches sing that song. You know, dun, 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 dun. But when you go to a good black church, I was in one church one time, and it was a good old-fashioned, real southern church. And they started singing and dancing. Next thing I know, I had a fellow, I'm sitting there, and I'm clapping, and the girl beside me goes, you're clapping white. I looked at her, I said, what do you mean I'm clapping white? She said, you got to clap on this beat, not that beat. And I'm like, okay. The next thing you know, I had another guy come up to me. They're running around the church. I mean, they're having the best time. And, you know, for me, being a white Canadian boy, I'm looking going, oh, I wish I could do that. And a big old boy came up, grabbed my hand and said, come on, we got to run. And I knew I had to run and he was going to drag me around the church. So I started to run. And so you get excited. I'm free. The Bible says I'm free. So you, this is you, all right? You are the life force that lives forever. And let me bring my bodies up. So here's our inner body. This is Sean. He's nice and shiny and bright because the nature of light will stand on the left side of Joe. This is Sean. Sean is standing on the left side of Joe. Now, this is the inward body. Now, the scripture we read in Romans last week is that righteousness, the new nature, brought to life your inner body or your spirit, okay? Because the word spirit can mean new nature or inner body. So the righteousness, the new nature, brought to life the inner body. Then this is your outward body. So go stand on the right side of Joel. There, JP, please take your jacket with you if you would. Or no, actually put your jacket over here by my tools there. Thank you, buddy. So JP is standing on the right side of Joe, on the left side, your left of Joe, and Sean, the inner man, is standing on the on your right side, and Joe, you are in the middle. Now, where are you? See, where does your personality come from? Where does your likes and dislikes come from? See, here's what I want us to see. This is you. Now, I'm not explaining the new nature right now. That's why we have Davey over there sitting, because this is not holding your new nature. Your new nature is there, but we're trying to whittle this down a little bit so I'm not confusing everyone every service, okay? I'm not confusing everyone too much every service. So this is you. You're in the middle. You have an outward body and an inner body. Amen? Now here's what I want us to see. When the outward body dies, just step back, JP, for a minute. When the outward body falls off of you, or when the trumpet sounds and you receive a new body, this is what you're going to look like in heaven. You're going to have an inner body, but not an outward body. You've got to wait for your outward body until Jesus finishes everything. Say amen if you understand what I'm saying. All right. So this is you. But when you get to heaven and you shed your outward body, how many know you're going to have emotions? What are those emotions? Well, we read in Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, you know, we can go through gentleness, long-suffering. These are emotions that come from your spirit. So one of the things that I'm trying to describe is when we spiritualize things, I hear God in my belly, and I feel in my belly. So we think our spiritual man is just kind of God comes and speaks to your belly. Okay, you do, but it's very logical. It's not confusing. You have an inner man who has a spiritual mind, a spiritual body, spiritual emotions. And so when God speaks to you, I'll have God come up. Come on, Mr. Mike. He speaks to a spiritual, spiritual. Thank you. Go on and speak to Joe here. Yeah, but he speaks to your inner body. And your spiritual mind picks up things. Do you ever go witnessing, all of a sudden a scripture pops up? And you're like, man, I didn't know I knew that scripture. That was so awesome. Well, where did that scripture come from? Well, the Holy Ghost just told me a scripture. That's not exactly true. Somewhere you cross, not that he can't do that, but somewhere you crossed paths with a scripture that went through your natural mind, which forgot about it, but it didn't forget about the hurt that happened to you when you were a kid. But it forgot about the scripture. But your inner man eats the word of God. That's the food of your inner man. So that scripture stays in your spiritual. Your spiritual mind, now that it's alive, has the capacity. Okay, listen to me now. Your spiritual mind, this is you. I'm not talking about the guy next to you. This is you. Your spiritual mind, now that it's alive, and light has brought life to it, has the capacity to sit down with God every day for eternity and learn something new. And a billion years from now, God's going to tell you a new part, a little secret about himself that you never knew. So you'll have a billion conversations with God where he'll tell you something new about him. Because we'll never get to the end of how cool he is, how great he is, how smart he is. We'll never get to the end of it. But you won't forget the first conversation. I know today you may forget where your keys are. And you may forget sometimes I corner people. How do you like the service? Always good. What is your favorite part about what I preached? And I'm even worse. I'll call, my mom will call, how'd it go? I'm hoping good. What'd you preach on? You know, so your spirit man, though, doesn't forget. So you read a scripture and your spiritual mind captured it. So when you were witnessing to someone, the Holy Ghost brought out of your spiritual mind what was been there the whole time. That's why if you just read the word, you're not just going, I'm just reading the word and I don't remember anything. You don't forget it. You're filling up your spirit man with the knowledge that it needs for the Holy Ghost to work with. All right, so when God speaks to you, when you pray in tongues and the Holy Ghost begins to instruct you, he speaks to your spiritual ears and your spiritual mind remembers it. See, when it says your mind is unfruitful, it doesn't mean you walk around. You ever hear people say, following God is not mindlessness? You know, they're trying to make a case for intellectualism. But it is naturally mindlessness. But spiritually, you have a mind too. All right, so you're still with me, okay? So thank you, God. Come and grab a seat. So natural body, come on up. So here we have you. You are part, like, you are all together. You are your body, your upbringing. Everything about you is what makes you you. The problem is some of your past is dysfunctional. The beautiful thing about being dysfunctional is you know you don't like it. The worst thing you could be is not dysfunctional. Have a great upbringing. Because then you will be receiving all the world and the goodness of this life from your body, your flesh, and not realize it's still not good enough. So here you are. This is you. Now, Joe, come on and grab a seat for me if you would. I'm still trying this. So I'm removing you now. So Joe is seated down. And now I have your inner body and your outward body. This is who they are. Now they are, do you ever hear of twins, identical twins? Do you ever hear of, they call them conjoined twins or Siamese twins? The reason it got named Siamese twins is because there was a couple of men, I guess Siamese men, who were joint at the belly or at the hip, and they went out and they became famous. Some man saw them and put them on a show in the 1800s, took them around in circuses and come and look at the Siamese twins. That was their name, Siamese twins. But really the proper word I think is conjoined twins. And these two guys were interesting because they were joined just with a flap. They didn't realize that after they died, they realized they could have been separated, no problem. But they stayed joined their whole life, got married to sisters, and they lived in one house with one bed that held four people. The one guy had 10 kids, and the other guy had 8 children. And then the sisters got mad at each other and built a house next door to each other. So they would spend 3 days in one house and 4 days at the other house. And they lived their life like this. And one would get drunk, and the other guy wasn't affected by it. So that's how I want you to see your bodies. They're like conjoined twins. You've heard it said, I have a body, a soul, and a spirit. You've heard it said, my spirit, my soul is made up of what? Mind, will, and emotions. Have you heard that? Okay, so this is what I'm trying to describe. Joel, will you take that rope, big white rope, and hand it off to Sean? And Sean, you can tell JP what to do with that rope. So this is what I want you to see. You have, because you're born again, the process isn't finished yet. In fact, the process of being born a child of God is not completed for at least another 1,000 years, if you believe in the 1,000-year reign. At least until this world is burnt up. Even the saints who've gone on to heaven, their process isn't finished yet because they've not received a new outward body. So the process of Jesus' work isn't done until death is put away with once and for all. And the whole family of God is standing on a new earth that's not corruptible, and living in a new outward body that's not corruptible. Say amen if you understood that. All right. So here you are. So you, this is what you get. You get excited. You're born again. The preacher says, you can become an heir of God. You come to church all dysfunctional. You got all kinds of infirmities. You can't make your marriage work. You can't make your finances work. You can't make friendships work. You're dealing with anger. You're dealing with all kinds of things. And you hear a preacher say, you can get born again, become an heir of God, children of God, free. You're free. So you kneel down, get born again, and this is you. Now, I would have Joel in riding his inner body, but that would be a little too comical, I think. And so I'm just breaking. This is your inner body. So you get excited, and what happens is you hear the song, dun, 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 I'm free to dance. I'm free to worship. I'm free now to celebrate because I'm born again. You're free. So what do? You run around free. And then what happens all of a sudden after maybe a day or two? Boom. Like what's stopping me from really receiving everything and believing everything God has for me? Do you think when you get to heaven, you're not going to have any doubt? God's going to stand before you and say, I love you. And you're going, no, you don't. No, I don't believe you. You know, you're my child. No, maybe on Sunday, but I don't know about Monday. You know, you have no doubt. You'll be free. But so we hear this idea, I'm free to dance. And so we run, and all of a sudden, dwang, we have a rope. For listening, I have a rope tied around the inner man and the outward man. Because why? They're conjoined twins. So imagine these two, let's go stand right beside each other, because this is how it really looks. Do you ever see the conjoined twins that were joined at the head? You seen that picture? Two little kids, they share the same skull, but they're two people. And so this is you right now. You have conjoined identical twins called natural mortal. Wave your hand at me, Pastor JP. And you have bright inner man. Okay, but they're conjoined at the mind, at the will, and the emotions. So if I were to separate them farther apart, go to the end, now they're 10 feet from each other, there is a string tying, if you can look at it, they're joined together, but we're stretching it out, mind, okay, will, and emotions. So this is you. Come here, Joe. Come stand in between your two bodies. This is you. You're born again. Now, see, what happens is with the message that's being preached called hypergrace, they go and they, oh, Joe, come grab the blue rope. So what they do, and the suit jacket. So here's how they work. Rather than fighting the flesh and mortifying the flesh, they begin to dress up the flesh. Flesh, we're going to make you look churchy. We're going to make you look like the inner man. Dress up a little bit, and we actually try to tie a rope around the neck of our flesh. All right, so we go to church, and we say, okay, you need to deal with your flesh. And, you know, like an iceberg, on the top 10%, we all know what the flesh is. The flesh is drinking, smoking, chewing, and running with the girls that are doing, you know. It's like, that's the top 10%. Stop that. So if you stop these things, then you are holy. Okay, now there's a difference between acting holy, actions of holy, acting like an actor, I'm going to act holy, and the fruit of holiness. See, the fruit of holiness is, this is me. That's the reason mortification is so important, because it's the difference between acting holy. You can act holy, which is really a step of faith. Acting holy is you trying to quit something that you have a problem with, because there's something in you trying to get you. It's called the lust of the flesh. Trying, you know, because the devil can only tempt you by what's in your flesh. He can't tempt you by something that's not broken in you. I can bring out a plate of cocaine, white powder, and in front of 99 people, I'll go, hey, you want some? Here you go. You know, and you'll go, call the police. I'm going to beat you up. Get out of here. But one out of the 100 will go, psst, over here. I got, how much do I, here, give me a minute. I'm going to steal someone's money. I'm going to get you, I need some of that, because something in them wants. And people throw their life away for white powder. Yes. Throw their kids away. And you think, what is wrong with you? Well, you have things wrong with you, just different than theirs. Right. Yeah. Where are these things wrong? Mind, will, emotions. Somewhere you have an infirmity. Now, 90% of your fleshly infirmities are under the water of it, like an iceberg. You only see the top 10%. When you see that big iceberg floating in the water, 90% of it is beneath the water, the surface. You can't see. So what you know about that you're dealing with in life that is wrong and bad, that's only the stuff you see. That's the top. You got 90% more to go, and you don't even know what it is. Well, how am I going to know? This is why we pray in tongues. Amen. So the Holy Ghost will take that light and begin to shine it on. And when you're ready, he doesn't shine on stuff when you're not ready, because he doesn't want you to feel like a dirty, rotten failure every day. He wants you, see, holiness is not an offering to God to say, I have perfected this, so now bless me. We receive everything from God because we are heirs, children. Not because we earned it, but because he earned it. So because he earned it, now I can begin to mortify things. So here's what the new, not new, it's been around forever, but the popular grace message does. It says, okay, there's your flesh. Let's tie a rope around its neck and dress it up pretty. Let's go, flesh. Let's go. So we try to get our flesh, but it doesn't go. So what we do is we begin to build our doctrine, our lifestyle around the flesh acting holy. So if you're listening, I have Joe. Now, if Joe looked in the mirror, he would see JP's face in the natural mirror. But if he looked in, see, my imagery gets a little confusing, so I'm trying to help you to understand. But if Joe were to look in the Word, he would see the inner man. If God comes and talks to Joe, he doesn't see all your messed confusion of your body. He sees the perfection of who he made you. If you can imagine, here's Joe, and he has a string tied, not the string you're holding, but from the natural brain through Joe's brain to Sean's brain. So they're conjoined. See, and the will, so there's another conjoined. They're conjoined, and the emotions. See, the emotions of the flesh and emotions are available from the spirit. So where the church has done is they tried to dress up the flesh, conform the body, the flesh, into being a church. I'm going to teach you how to be churchy. You're going to lift your hands. You're going to act holy. You know, when you're yelling at your wife and kids in the back car, and you're depressed when you come to church, and you walk in, then you smile. Hey, hallelujah. Isn't God good? Oh, God's good. Is God good all the time? God is good. You know, but inwardly, you're like, I hope no one finds out. See, that's family. See, family is, I know your mess, and I'm going to forgive you for your mess because I'm a mess, and you're going to forgive me for the mess that I'm going through. And when you let your guard down, that's when your family, most people, the relationships they have in church are the people they project, not the people they really are. And so when they go to God, they project to Him who they think He wants them to be. But they know what they're going through. So they're like, yeah, God won't do that for me because He knows me. But see, God knows you and still loves you. And see, this is where the hyper grace says, He loves me, and they bring their flesh into the throne room of God. This, He loves us all. So they try to make a way for their flesh to be accepted by God. He loves you the way you are. Quit trying to change. I got hold of this and I quit. I thank God I got hold of the message. I quit praying. I quit all this work of fasting. I quit all this work and I just became who I was. It was so easy. Yeah, I just became who I was and I got rid of this stuff. Fell off of me. Well, we'll get into that as we go deeper into mortification about things that fall off you, worldliness, but things that are attached to your natural soul that your flesh won't let go of. There are things that your flesh, mind, will, or emotions won't let go of because it feeds it. Things that are just worldliness when you get saved just drop off. But there are things that feed your natural body that it will fight you to its death. So what we do is we try to make a way for our body and we put a rope around it and dress it up and conform it. See, this is Joe. This is you. Joe is you in the middle. You have part of your personality is tied into your natural man, but part of it is the spiritual. Before you're born again, you're all one lump, perfect person. Everything was the same. But once you came born again, life came to your inner man, but not to your outer man. This is what Paul's trying to describe. So here you are. What is transformation? Taking the flesh? Let's go grab your flesh, Joe, and drag him over to your spirit man. This is what they think it is. Transformation is dragging your flesh over to your inner body and bringing it back together. Oh, we're one again. Peaceful. But it never works that way. It's the other way. Go back over there. So here's what happens when you try to discipline. You try a life of conforming your flesh. You pull on it, you pull on it, you pull on it, and you never win, right? So we drag our inner man over this way, and we say, we come over to us, the standing of our flesh, the mind of our flesh, the emotions of our flesh, and the will of our flesh, and we make it agreement together. Okay, come 1 inch flesh, just 1 inch over, and the flesh goes, okay, I'll give you 1 inch. Okay, good. You dress good. You look good. We're acting like a Christian. But an actor is only acting. It's not fruit of holiness. You're acting holy. All right. That's what we try to do because we've never been given the tools. The American church has not been given the tools of how to deal with the body. Except for a few places that teach the process. Mortification. So let's split us up again, boys. So now they're all apart. You're in the middle. This is transformation, right? When you get born again, stand over right next to you. You can drop that rope. This is you. You have a mind. Your soul is part flesh, part spirit. The voice of your spiritual body says, the thoughts of your spiritual mind always speak the thoughts of God, the thoughts of the Word. Amen? The thoughts of your natural mind. See, every problem will have two opinions, natural, spiritual. Now, your spiritual man is pretty immature when you're born again. So you're still living life thinking this is who you are. You're still living life thinking that you are attached to the flesh and all the thoughts of your flesh. Now, understand emotions also. So your soul is tied. It's stretched out when you're born again. On one side, it's like if I took conjoined twins. Think of two guys standing there or two girls standing there, and they have an attachment to their skulls, to their hips, and to their legs. Mind, will, and emotions. So we'll say the will is the legs, the emotions is the gut, and the attachment to the brain is the mind, right? And so I stretch them out. So I pull them apart as far as I can. So if you're looking at these two, they have a piece of skin attached from their mind and their hip and their legs. Their mind is attached together, their emotions is attached together, and their will is attached together. But on one end of it is a natural thought. On the other side of it is a spiritual thought. It's still the same soul, but it's stretched out now because the inner man is brought to life. So now the thoughts that come from your inner man are light. The emotions that come from your inner man are love. See, and the will that comes from your inner man is the will of God. But on the other side of your soul, the other stretched out end of your soul, the other spectrum, is the natural part of you. Mind, thoughts, will, and emotions. But it's still there. When the natural man falls off of you, all you're left with is the spiritual part of you. So think about this. You can have a guy who's angry. Where does anger come from? The flesh, the body, the mortal body. So the anger emotion, the chemical emotions that come from the natural body is anger. So this guy, he gets saved, and he lives right here. This is where he lives. And he thinks like his flesh does. That's all he knows. So I'm angry, and I have a right to be angry because that guy cut me off or that guy did this to me. So look what happens. Transformation is not taking the flesh and making it listen to the Spirit. Transformation is you praying in tongues, shandaraba, spending time praying, getting the Word, and you start to, back up a little bit. When you're first born again, you realize, well, how come that didn't leave me? How come that didn't leave me? How many know what I'm talking about? Some of you are like, I don't know what you're talking about. And so, but transformation is you start living there, you pray, you fast, you use the tools. See, if you spend your whole time trying to wrestle your flesh, you'll miss out on what's more important. It's better to spend an hour confessing and reading the Word, praying in tongues, than it is to spend an hour trying to make your flesh bow its knee. Because what will happen is you will start to translate. You're moving yourself towards the inner man, his thoughts, his emotions, his will, instead of living out of the flesh. Does that make sense? That is transformation. That's the difference. Now, what a lot of people try to do is they sit there for hours talking to their natural mind. Go ahead, go back over here. All right, mind, you are a child of God. Tell it. You're a child of God. He loves you. And they spend hours preaching to their flesh. You're a child of God. You know the things of God. But it doesn't understand the things of God. Because God is not the father of your flesh. He's not the father of your mortal body. So you try to convince it. Now, we believe, don't we? And he'll go, huh? It's like talking to a monkey. Saying, monkey, you're a child of God. Okay, okay. Put the banana down. No. You know, because it can't be fixed. So what is mortification? Part of the process of believing that you are a child of God is acting like one. Okay, that is the beginning process of believing that I am born again and I'm a child of God, is I put a rope around that neck of that flesh and I say, I have a leash on you now. Pick up your rope and say, you flesh, you were going to live out of the Spirit. And so you start, while the Word of God says, I can believe for this. So you start walking towards it and your flesh fights you and you start dragging it. You know, I had a little dog. I like to walk. So we put a leash on it and walk, and it would run ahead. You ever have a dog that run? You know, well, we had another dog. It's a lap dog. And it truthfully, it was a lap dog. Tiny, 3 pounds. His name was Spencer. And I put a leash on him and say, we're going to go walk. And that dog, 3 pounds, would squat and sit and fight me and basically say, I'm not walking. And I looked at that little dog, you know, me looking down, the little 3 pound dog saying, you're going to walk, little dog. And I began to drag it down the sidewalk. And that dog took like 2 steps and sat. And I drug it for like 100 yards. It whooped me. I'm finally like, come here, I'll just carry it. It's too much work. Now, that's a 3 pound dog. Imagine dealing with a 200 and, you know, being weight flesh that I have on me right now. And I can't even whoop a 3 pound dog. People are trying to fight their flesh and they're trying to make it conform, act. But the Word of God, when you find out, it doesn't say discipline your flesh. That is the first step. You are acting like the real you. I am going to act holy, so I'm going to make my flesh, the mind of my flesh, the will of my flesh, and the emotions of my flesh submit. So I began to wrestle with it, fight with it. But what happens when you fight your flesh? You do good on Sunday. You do good maybe on Monday. I was in the altar and Pastor Dave prayed for me. The anointing knocked me over. Whew, I feel free. And then on Thursday, when I'm tired physically, when you're lonely, get a little depressed, or the pressure is turned on by the enemy, you give in to the flesh. And then you get up and you go, okay, no, I'm not that. See, acting and wrestling with your flesh is the first step of believing of who the Bible says you are. But the process we're in is much more than spending your life wrestling with the 10% of the flesh that you see. The beauty of this is you can live your life as if you were never had a flesh. And that's called mortification. And it goes deeper, so much deeper than just the 10% that you know. There's things in your life that are stopping you and I from believing. If you were to ask me a year and a half ago, you're going to say, will you have a stroke? I'm like, bless God, no way. I serve God. I am a man of faith. I don't believe that. And it hit me. Because why? Because I thought I believed more than I believed in that area. I thought I had something that I didn't have. See, where does that unbelief come from? Well, I have a whole flesh that's so deep, just like you, that says God's not my Father. It's so deep, it's so rooted from, see, these two, these conjoined twins, at conception, cell for cell, began to develop, spiritual and natural, they're conjoined twins. Cell for cell, they were best buddies, they were conjoined, they were perfectly in unity, until God brought light to one and left the other one in darkness, the natural body. So let me read to you out of Colossians chapter 3. And while I'm doing this, I'm going to have you go down. Joe, come on down and grab the real tools of mortification and bring them there up there with you. These are, I love doing props now. I used to hate it, but now I like it. These are the real tools of mortification. If you're listening, Joe just brought on the stage to impress his flesh with a saw and a big old clippers because he's going to begin to mortify the flesh, not just discipline it. This is what happens. You start going around the prayer center, start listening to Pastor Dave's messages. Oh, I love Pastor Dave. He's such a lover. He's so nice. I love his messages. Then your flesh goes, what are you doing with that saw? Hey, give me my church clothes back. What are you doing with that big old clippers? Well, I'm about to cut off my hand and poke out my eye, and I'm about to take my flesh and make it. See, it's not the eye that's the problem. It's what's telling the eye where to look. The part of your emotions, the part of your natural soul that says, I need this to feel safe. That's the part that you go after. That's the clipping. See, we're not trying to get the mortal mind to understand the things of the Spirit. We're trying to make it shut up. Colossians chapter 3. If then you are raised with Christ, verse 1, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Now these are born-again Christians. Set your mind on things above. See mind? Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. So in other words, when Christ appears, your flesh will drop off you, and you will be standing there looking just like Jesus. But right now, you still have something that's not from Jesus. That's your mortal body. Therefore, I'm not sure, I'm reading New King James here. Put to death, does it say mortify in the King James? There we go, I love that. Mortify the members which are on this earth. Now these are members. Now understand, say members. Fornication, uncleanliness, passion. So he's talking to a bunch of Christians. And he's saying, you're probably going to deal with some of these things. Why? Because you have a mortal body. Not because you're a loser or a failure, because you have a mortal body. Do you understand? The grace, the hyper grace message removes this verse. It says, don't fight it. Just love God, and it will just fall off of you. He says to actively mortify. In other words, take the clippers and find a finger there, Joe. And let's start with the finger of jealousy. And this is what actually happens. Your flesh begins to resist any preacher that begins to talk about mortification. Any preacher that talks about abundance and blessing and celebrating goes, yeah, I like that church. But you drag your flesh into a church that says, mortify. It begins to come up with reasonings and ideas and even doctrine that says, we really don't have to do that now. Am I preaching okay? Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Do you see those things? I put a note here. These are from your body, okay? Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself were once walked in when you lived in them. But now you yourself are to put off. Now these are, I put your emotions. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man and his deeds. So I want you to see that your natural man is more than just skin and bone. It's emotions. It's thoughts. You have an emotion that rises up every time something happens. When you get a bill that says, you know, don't you love, like all of a sudden it says, we forgot to charge you the last 3 months on your electrical bill. So we are sending you one big fat bill. And you're like, man, I thought I was free. I spent that money. And now you got a big old fat bill, or your car breaks down, and everything's nice until something breaks down. You know, we're all happy. You know, we live how we're living. All of a sudden, boom, we had a wind come through a couple years ago, and Christy walked out in the backyard and called me, and my whole fence, not just the fence and the wall, the retaining wall that I owned into my neighbor's yard, because my house is about 3.5 feet higher than my neighbor's, the wind blew the whole sucker over. Well, let's bring an estimate in. And the guy said, well, it's going to cost you $10,000 to get this fixed. So we called insurance, and we said, well, the estimate's $10,000. He said, that's what he said. You think we're going to give you $10,000 for a fence? And so now I have two emotions speaking to me. One emotion coming from my spiritual body, which says, he's your father. He knew this was coming. He'll provide for you. What does the word say? Don't worry about tomorrow. That is what my inner thought. That's a peace that comes in you. Then my outward body goes, let's sell something. Go get a job. Go preach somewhere. Get an offering. Let's make a plea out to the people. I have a need. You know, I'm not asking for anything. I'm just telling you, I'm just saying, you know, please pray for me right now. We have a big bill of $10,000 that we're believing for, and I'm believing God's going to speak to 10 of you to give $1,000 each. Wouldn't you know it, my neighbor walked up, who I had helped build a fence with, and I was nice to him at the time. And he walked up. I own the retaining wall. It's on my property. He said, you know, since we see that wall all the time, we'll go in half with you. And I mean, it was amazing. What ended up coming was so amazing. We not only did get that fixed with the beautiful brick, but we ended up getting the front fixed with beautiful brick. It's just amazing what God will do. But fear from your flesh will make you go try to fix it. See, and that's when you step out of faith. All right. Do not lie, verse 9, to one another, since, chapter 3, verse 9, you have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, wave at me, new man, the inner body, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. The image of him, that's your new nature, who created him. So it is renewed, the inner man, the inner body is renewed. So the renewing of your mind isn't taking the natural mind and grabbing it by and saying, okay, I'm going to counsel you, natural mind, for the next 20 years, I'm going to counsel you about who God is. God is faithful. Say it, natural mind, God is faithful. All right, say it, natural mind. Joelstown is natural mind. Say it, God is faithful. When you confess the word, you're not trying to convince your natural mind. You're trying to get enough strength through your spiritual man, transformation, to get your natural mind to shut up and to submit mortification, to die. See, mortification is taking the thought that's told you he's not your father. You're not good enough. Mortification is when you take that thought and you clip it out of your mind, natural mind, to where it doesn't yell at you anymore. That's not just wrestling it. Do not lie to one another, since you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. Whether there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised or not uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on. Now this is your spirit man. Wave at me, spiritual body. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, to be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual psalms. Sorry, I'm going to stop there. So this is the process. The process is not wrestling the natural body, but making it die, mortify it. Now, one day we'll all be in eternity, and we'll have no natural body fighting us, no death, no wrinkles, no emotions of fakeness, no fear, no envy, no strife, no want. But until that day, you're not left. You and I are not left at the mercy of where we are. No matter where family you come from, no matter what culture you come from, no matter what ideas you have in you about who you are, there's a process called mortified in the flesh, which allows you and I to live out of who Christ made us. And it may seem like it takes forever. That's because everyone knows the top 10% of the iceberg. It says, yeah, quit this, quit this, quit this. And they can act holy. But there is a fruit of holiness, which is birthed out of your spirit man, and it begins to be who you are. It's not a choice. You're producing it. See, and that's the process of part of the process of mortification. Yes, the beginning of mortification is the wrestling match between your flesh, the argument with your flesh. Shut up, flesh. Do what I tell you to. We're going to church. Yes, he is our Father. No, he's not. Yes, he is. No, he's not. Yes, he is. Shut up. Those thoughts that wake you up in the middle of the night, you're going to die. You're going to go broke. You're not going to finish the race. I have more of those thoughts now after I've suffered a big slap to the face. You know, the doctors have added thoughts to my flesh. You're always going to be like this. You're never going to make it out of this. How are you going to provide? All those thoughts. But I have to tell my flesh, shut up. See, they still come. But as I keep renewing the mind, in other words, I keep pouring into the spiritual mind, eventually the voice of my inner body will be much louder than the little tiny squeaky voice of the natural body. That is called mortification. Amen? All right, you are released. We'll see you at 10 o'clock.